This Sunday. Every Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they see them, and you better believe them. Here. Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas, but mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
You tiger-eyed lilies out there, you have tuned in to Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your hosts, Ray Guarino and the tiger himself bopping over there in his basement. Yes, Chris Switzer, I know what you're doing over there. How are you, Chris?
Doing well, Ray. I'm looking for my IROC C.
Yeah.
I'm looking for my Buick Grand National. I got set back into the 80s right there.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit of the eye of the tiger.
Wow. Why are you playing Survivor? Is there any reason for that miscalculated musical choice?
Well, actually, I was going to say, because it ties in, because we have to have the eye of the tiger now to deal with our life situations and keep focused. But it's really, I got this compilation of CDs here that's like, it's
wow.
Like five CDs with 100 songs that are just like 100 American classic hits. So I just started going through and said, hey, that's good intro music.
Yes, it is. That would be a great theme song to start off the show every week.
Didn't Lionel or somebody use Eye of the Tiger? I thought maybe Lionel had done that.
Talk show host Lionel?
Yeah.
What did he use? He used something like that. He did use something like that. I don't know how he got past the copyright infringements or whatever but he did use a bit of a song like that. Lionel, I miss him.
Yeah.
One of the greatest talk show hosts ever.
Yeah.
One of the greatest radio talk show hosts, where we tip our hat to him when we say, let's go to the phones and go to the fun. That is a Lionel-esque line.
There you go.
And we salute him every week, whether we know it or not.
Right.
But yeah, it's been an interesting week this week. You know, I found out something I had left. Last week, I think I told you I had changed the oil in my wife's car. And you and I always talk about this. We always stress this point that every time you change the oil, it always gives you an opportunity to look under the car and see what else needs your attention.
And what are the things you look for? What are the hints you look for?
Oh, always look for something wet. Or something shiny.
Right.
Those are always,
I always thought
the
there
thing.
Was. See, when I say that, because I got that from you, I always think there's a third, and I never remember what it is, and I say, or something else out of place.
Right. Yeah. Well, see, the way I look at it is I want to see what we portray here in the show. I want to see dirty and dull.
That's, there you go. If we had a camera, you could see it.
I don't want to see wet and shiny. Wet and shiny is for other shows.
Right.
No, we're dirty and dull. So, yeah, and last week I was under the car and I saw mostly dirty and dull, but there's one little part that I found irritates the stuffing out of me. There is a metal tube that is attached to the lower cradle, the engine cradle, on a lot of foreign cars. It's a metal tube, and there's a, I think it, if I remember correctly, it's a coolant tube. A hose runs to it, mm-hmm. and then a hose runs away from it.
Okay.
And there it sits. It's this metal joining tube that attaches these two rubber hoses together. Well, I remember on my Subaru, mm-hmm. that metal tube rotted out.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden I had a coolant leak, and I'm like, "What? Where's it coming from? Where's it coming from? It can't be coming from this tube." Oh, yes, it was, because I was able to squeeze it and actually able to squeeze that metal tube, and more coolant came out. So I ordered the tube and got it. I think it was like in a day or so from a local Subaru dealer, and I swapped it out, and all was good. It took an afternoon. But I'm like, that shouldn't have rotted, but it did.
Well, they do,
so yeah. So here I am under the Mazda, same tube, and wouldn't you know it, it's starting to rot.
There you go.
I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I run down the basement. I get a can of Rust-Oleum, just a regular can of black Rust-Oleum paint. I run back up. Now I got the black gloves on, so I just pop open the can, dip my finger in it, nice. And run my finger with the black paint all over that thing. Uh-huh. So we're stopping the rust right here and now.
Okay.
I'm done with that. But I'm thinking to myself, I would have never seen it. I would have never noticed it. I would have never given it a second thought had I not been under the car changing my own oil. And would you think that if you brought the car over to some greasy lube or something like that, you think they're going to point that out to you? Oh, no, they're not pointing that out to you. So I was thinking, chuck one up for the motor mouth right there. Yes, sorry, Bob.
That's good.
Save myself a little bit of grief.
I'm glad you pointed that out. I would like to point out that people can get in the fun by calling us at 516-572-7440. Or check us out on the web, Motor Mouth Radio, where that's where you can find us on the web, on Twitter, and on Facebook. And, of course, on Instagram, it's real_MotorMouth Radio. And... yeah, and give us a call, talk about some stuff. I want to tell you, there's a couple things I noticed in the last week or so that really have been, butter in my biscuits that I want to talk about. This could be a Mikey T rant if I was so inclined, Uh-oh. But I'm kind of calm about it. And the other day I was a little hot, but now.
Okay, I'm ready.
Just as an example, right here by the studio, there's a couple of red light cameras at one major intersection, and people get nailed there all the time. And you can see what happens. Once people get a ticket, now they don't turn on red. They're going to stop and they're going to sit there forever, and you are allowed to turn on red.
Yes.
But the protocol is, and I found this out by calling the Department of Motor Vehicles. I actually talked to somebody years ago about this. Tried to get them on the show. They wouldn't do it. But
I was going to say, you waited that long for a representative from the DMV.
Talking about being on hold. Yeah. You're on hold long with Microsoft or HP. Oh, geez. No. And literally the answer to the question is this. When you are at a red light intersection and you want to turn right on red, the question I had was, how long must you be stopped before you can turn? Because that would solve that issue. And literally, the guy didn't, it's not written anywhere. So what we came up with was, okay, it needs to be a complete cessation of motion. And
yes.
So I said to the guy, so it could be for 1 second. And he says, as long as you have fully stopped. So the way I judge that is, because everybody rolls and you roll up, you roll through. We're a bunch of rollers, right? That's what we do.
Yeah. Because we're all from California. California roll stop.
Let me roll it. As you roll up, and you hit the brakes a little more, you'll feel the car go boop when the brakes just... Now you've had a complete cessation of motion. Take the foot off the brake, make the right on red. You're okay. You're good to go. The camera won't get you. And I do that all the time. But now, I still see people who are waiting. Now, they're getting stuck across the road now, and people are honking, of course, and everybody wants to go. But I saw a couple... I was watching people because I was in another lane at a red light going to go straight. So I had time to watch these people. And I saw a couple of people did stop and turned. And then people, like, roll up and kind of roll through. And, like, I could see, like, the car didn't make that bump. Like, you didn't make a complete cessation of motion. You may be getting a ticket, you know? And, again, it's up to their, you know, they sometimes do, sometimes don't. And the realization I had is people just don't get what it means to just stop. You know,
right.
They just think like, well, I rolled really, like they know that when they roll it and you roll through, you took it, you know, you took it. And sometimes you take it at like 5-10 miles an hour. You know, you did it.
I've seen those.
So they feel when they slow down to that really slow creep and crawl and they're still creeping, they figure, well, that's not a stop. So that was my one rant. People just don't know how to, but now they'll get a ticket and then they'll sit there and they won't turn. And they'll have everybody behind them backed up because they don't know how to make a... you've made a full stop now, dummy. So.
Well, you do know that coming from the boroughs where you cannot do that, that's the only
right.
It's the only part of New York, the state of New York, where you cannot make a right on red, any of the boroughs. Wherever you saw those signs that a right on red is acceptable at this intersection, those are gold.
Yeah.
If you come from a borough and you get to that intersection, you can consider yourself fortunate because you can make that right on red. It's almost like you're cheating the system there for a second, for that split second.
Right.
And to get that poor soul that's in front of you that doesn't make the right on red and doesn't take advantage of that sign.
Yeah.
You want to get out and strangle them.
That's right. That's right.
So it's the truth. And I've always realized that whenever you see a traffic camera, always take into consideration that wherever that traffic camera is, money is there.
Oh, yeah. Or it'll be the money will be coming from the pockets of the people in the cars to the money-taking agency.
Right. There's money there. Usually you don't see those cameras in areas where there are no money.
No.
And sometimes you don't see those cameras where in areas where there's too much money.
Okay.
You won't see those cameras there.
All right, yeah.
Because people with too much money are going to go, yeah, don't put that
there. Because there's some political pressure in those areas.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
So wherever you see a traffic camera, you know you're like the American middle class.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. You got enough money to open your pockets. You're not poor. But hey, here's something that speaking about people with less money, I just read this in the paper yesterday. Mm-hmm. They are in Suffolk County, out here in the island of Long, out in Suffolk, the other county, the one that's east of us. What they're doing is, you know, people get pulled over all the time for having a light out, whether it be a rear light, a front light, tail light, headlight bulb, whatever, right?
Sure.
It happens. And you don't always know that it's out. You know, some cars had indicators to let you know through the years, which was a great idea. Most don't. So what they're doing in certain areas, because they feel people don't, they don't have the money to spend, it comes down to the choice of putting food on the table, let's say, or fixing that light in the car. They're going to go for the food on the table every time.
Sure.
And I'm thinking, well, how the hell are they paying the insurance? Are they? So what they did is the county partnered with, I don't know what the entity was, if it was a private or a federal entity. They came up with a boatload of money, I think $350,000 to start. So now the police officer, at his discretion, when he goes back to the car, instead of coming back with a citation, will hand that driver a voucher to get that car fixed. And they figure the repairs are between $40 to $60 on most cars if it's just a bulb, you know.
Right.
I'm thinking, yeah, if it's a BMW or Mercedes, then you got to rescan, you got to put a scanner on and reprogram that bulb. So that's a little more. And they have a couple of stations, repair shops. One's a body shop, one's a repair shop, who's on board with the program, who will accept that voucher. So they're trying to get more. So that's a little forward-thinking social program by the Suffolk County Legislature to keep drivers safer and keep their lights on. So
that's interesting. That's actually very smart thinking, if you ask me. I like that. I mean, I always feel that everybody can do what we do sometimes. And I go, oh, bulb's out. All right, go get a bulb, go install it, do what you have to do, you motor along. But there are people that don't have the capacity.
That's what my wife said. She goes, well, that's easy. I said, oh, when was the last time you changed a bulb in a mile car? Sometimes, you know, I had just recently, I'll just give you some quick stories. I wanted to put I want to change the reverse lights in the FJ because at night when I pull up to park in front of my house, I couldn't really gauge. I couldn't see out of the mirror to gauge the curb or where I was. I needed more lights. So I said, I'm going to put LED reverse lights in.
Sounds good.
And it's in the gauge housing. So you take a, you know, you take a panel off from inside the truck and then you get your hand in there, but you can't, the socket doesn't come out. And I noticed that on, I got the one side in and I went to the other side and I saw there was a rag stuffed inside that cavity. And what it was is the previous owner had changed the brake light bulb. And it's again, it's a socket that twists and locks, but he couldn't get his hand in there to twist and lock it. Because it was really, and it really was hard to do. I couldn't do it either. So he shoved a rag behind it to kind of take up the space to hold it in. Right?
Brilliant.
So as contorted as I could get, I could not get that thing to twist and lock. I couldn't get enough strength on it. Just, you know, it was because you're inside a little square. So what I did is I looked for the three long studs that have like 10 millimeter nuts on them. And I took the nuts off. I took the whole housing out. And I worked on it outside, and then it was a piece of cake. So I said, okay, here's a case in point. That guy didn't have the wherewithal or the tool needed to be able to get in there and do that, so he used a rag. And so that was not an easy one to do. My daughter's RAV4 to change the headlight bulbs. Okay, I figured out how to do it with the, you know, in the vehicle. There's like three little torque screws you got to take off of a retaining plate. But in the manual, they actually said, and especially if you want to change the headlight housing, you have to remove the bumper. The whole front fascia, the whole front bumper cover comes off.
Remove the bumper to change a headlight bulb.
To get the headlight housing out. Yeah, if you had to change the housing. I was like, yeah, people are going to do that in their driveway on Saturday. So like I said, and even to change the bulb, like I had to do, was on the RAV4 was a little compromising, you know, because you got the battery on one side, you got airbox and stuff on the other side. I figured a way, and I had the right tools, thanks to Matt Comey and Brian, to get in there and get these little torque screws out and not drop them because I magnetize them. But, yeah, if you go by the book, you're taking a bumper off. So, yeah, it's not like a 66 Chevy or a Falcon where you can just go in there and, like, you know, you take the lens off with two screws and take the bulb out. Those days.
Well, that was in the defense, sometimes taking the bumper off would be easier than trying to get those flathead screws off the trim ring of a headlight bulb of any GM vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
Those flathead screws were the hardest screws to remove.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Sometimes the bump, removing the bumper, I don't know, I choose.
You know, on my Pontiac, I do have those rings. And I even put a little dab of, like, Nevisease on that screw. It's a short, little, stubby screw, you know.
I was going to say, why? It's going to hermetically seal itself to the ring in a matter of weeks.
Yeah, no, it helped. But still, they are always very tight. They are. And you're in there, usually in a recess, and you're using a flat screwdriver, which doesn't give you the same. And it's not going to hold the screw. Yeah, pain in the neck. I'll agree with that. I do.
I was pulling the grill off my '64 Caddy to try and get the headlight bezel came off, the grill came off, just to get enough grip.
Right.
Get at that flathead screw. It was terrible. But you know what's funny? You talk about newer cars just for a second. The RAV4, when you got to remove the bumper, there's that plastic piece that affixes the edge of the bumper to the fender or the top of the headlight bezel. Mm-hmm. I have a fear of those things.
I know.
I really do. Because body guys can just pop those things off and they put them back on. They reinstall it with the ball of their hand. Bum, bum, bum.
Right.
And I'm always afraid of that. Like,
that's right.
It's going to pop back off again.
Well, what I'm afraid of sometimes is answering the phone, but today it looks pretty good. So let's go to those phones and answer it and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Ray, Chris, John, how are you?
Very good, John.
Hey, John.
How are we doing today?
We are fine. How are you?
I can't complain. Right, I was laughing. I got a call from my wife. She was at work Tuesday, drove her Ford Escape 2016, and calls and goes, yeah, I can't get the car started at lunch.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mm.
look up what the process is to change the battery. You know the old commercial I kept ringing in my head? Ford had a better idea?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, they didn't in this case.
Not this time, huh?
I Advanced Auto is right across the street from where she works, and I ordered the battery. I went in, and the guy goes, oh, you want us to change it for free? And I go, be careful what you're offering before you find out what vehicle it's for.
Right.
And it's underneath the cowling of the windshield.
Oh, okay. And that's an Escape, you said, John? A Ford Escape?
Yeah, an Escape. I had to take the whole air box out of the thing and all the connecting tubes. Advanced site said, estimate 45 minutes to change the battery.
Some of the Chrysler's like that, too. They really bury them. I forget if it's the 300 or the 200. They bury it like, and then built the car around it. It's ridiculous.
No argument here, but I was like, oh, my God. I went down. Thank God I had a jumper box. Started the car up, left my truck there, brought it home, and did it in the driveway. But I'm like, whoa.
Good, good.
Not a better idea.
Yeah. And then, you know, and on the other hand, John, if you knew, you know, if you took them up on it and said, good, you guys put it in for free. Now you got to trust that that guy's not going to mangle the airbox, cut, you know, leave a connector off or cut a wire or do something stupid.
Well, the funny part was when I told him, yeah, it's a Ford Escape and it's under the cowling, he goes, oh, we're not allowed to do those.
We're not authorized.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess they're worried about damaging, you know, the airbox, air filter. I don't know. But, right. I said to the guy, amazing. I go, yeah, if you want to do it, it's right across the street. Can you walk across the parking lot?
Right. Yeah, no.
Crazy
that
stuff.
That is amazing.
That's
and it's truth, because they're fighting for space. And a battery, really, I mean, they got a little smaller throughout the 30 or so, 40 or so odd years, but they're still big. It's still a box, and you got to find a place to put it.
Yeah.
The same with the bumper on, you know, the RAV. I had a buddy of mine who has been in a, you know, had his own service stations, a couple of them, and he had an Audi that he bought to flip, and it needed, you know, the alternator was no good. Have you ever heard of Audi service mode?
Yes, I have.
You basically remove the whole nose of the car to get at anything, you know, and that's what you got to do to get at the alternator.
It's pretty funny, John. I've worked on a few of those cars, the A4s, the A6s, and the A8s, and just the other day my daughter was talking about, now she's got a job, and a good job, and she's talking about maybe buying or leasing a car for herself, and I said, why? You work at home. You don't have to go and drive anywhere. But anyway,
yeah, really.
So, you know, and she wanted maybe like, you know, a convertible, so she's looking at like a, you know, BMW. I said, no. I said, you have to think they were supposed to service those cars. She's, oh, well, then how about an Audi? I'm like, no.
No.
I could have had a 4, a 6, and an 8, and the 8 was supercharged with the biggest brakes I ever saw, burlwood interior, beautiful glove soft leather. I could have had the car for a song, and I said, no, because I worked on it. And I said, I see what it takes to work on these things. I don't want to have any part of it. Beautiful car. Don't get me wrong, but no.
Right. And the cheapest part of that car is the purchase price. The cheapest part of that car is the purchase price.
The cheapest part of the owner.
Yeah, John.
Audi, I don't know if Volkswagen's followed suit because they were so in bed years ago.
I know.
But, you know, I left. I had to go into, I had a Volkswagen Quantum. And I went in to get something at the dealer, and I stood there, and it's Volkswagen, Porsche, Audi.
Right.
And I'm looking, oil change special, and this is going way back, for Volkswagen was $29.99.
Yeah.
Audi, which was the same engine, $39.99. Yeah. And I stood there and scratched my head, and I go, I guess it's harder to get at.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's the truth. And Volkswagen has that same service procedure, John, where you got to pull the whole front bumper off. A friend of mine has a Touareg, and he had an alternator issue as well, and they had to pull the whole front of the car off. He was like, what? He's calling me up screaming, yelling. I'm like, you bought it, Bunky.
And again, I'll tell you this. I worked on, I could look for the picture on my phone. I don't know if it was an Altima or if it was a Honda. But I had to do an AC compressor in this thing, and you could see it right there at the bottom of the cradle in the front. You could see it clear as day, touch it, but you couldn't get it out because it went on the engine, on the cradle, and it went up into the car. So now all the room you needed was taken up by, so we pulled it, luckily, you know, Mike was at the shop, we pulled the bumper off and the lights out and all this to pull the whole front of the car apart to get access to this thing. And I said, I'm glad you're here to see this because this is above my pay grade. I don't do the body kind of stuff. So
yeah, the old thing is you can't get there from here.
Right.
Yeah, it's the truth. I have a of the 2014 Explorer with the 6. And I took the alternator out, and I remember the hardest part of that job was I didn't need my eyes. Everything right. was by feel.
Right.
Everything was
yep.
by feel. You couldn't see what you were doing. Right. You were literally working under one bank of the head.
Yep.
You were working
yeah.
one bank of the engine.
Yep.
And you didn't need to see it. You just needed
yeah.
to feel.
Chris, I hear you. You know, when I changed the bat, I says, and a buddy of mine stopped over, and I said to him, I go, yep, I'm breaking for a beer at this point, because I got the old one out, now I got to get the new one back in.
Yeah.
I says, but can you imagine trying to do this on the side of a road at night?
No.
Yeah.
No way. And that's what's come down to, John. I mean, because God forbid you break down the side of the road. In the old days, sometimes you were able to luck out and fix it. Like Ray always says, you know, get him home. I'll get him home. I'll
yeah.
fix it right
yeah.
there with a wire, chicken wire and duct tape. He'll get it home.
On fire.
On fire.
I've done it.
I got it.
Yes.
And you know, you stop and think about it. Say, okay, I need a 10-millimeter socket, a 13-millimeter, and bing, bing, bing. You know, when I got it home and started doing it, I go, this is stupid. Let me grab the electric socket and go, bzzz.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot faster.
Exactly. Yeah, very true.
That's for sure.
Anyhow,
that's
guys,
sure.
always a pleasure. Enjoy the show.
All
Have
right,
a
John.
Great afternoon.
Talk to you soon, John. Thanks.
You
Thanks,
got it.
John.
All right.
Be safe.
All right. And that leads us up to the bottom of the hour. So
Ooh.
I need to know if we have a Hunter Group of the Hour.
Oh,
share.
Yes, we do. It's you got to bear with me on this one. We do have an Honor Group of the Hour here on this fine, upstanding Sunday. And this week, the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour, if you've done something to your car to make it stand out in a parking lot, other than holding the remote in the air, hitting the panic button, and hoping that your car is in range by listening for the chirp, remember when you were sticking the foam ball on the tops of the car antennas? Yeah, well, new cars don't have antennas anymore, so we can't do that. How about sticking those eyelashes and lips on the car, huh?
Oh,
that'll make
geez.
Your car stand out. Yeah, nah, not the crowd that listens to this show. They're not going to do that. You can paint flames on your late model SUV, but your wife may have a problem with that idea. How about those multicolored wiper brackets? Yeah, nah, too tacky. They're impossible to keep from flying off in a rainstorm. How about just recording the parking lot section in the notes on your phone or taking a picture of the car by a sign in the lot? Now, who's got time for that? So, you know, if you're going to go shopping, just bring your classic car or your hot rod. It'll be easy to spot in the parking lot, right? Or just continue to hold the keyless entry remote over your head and pressing the panic button, waiting to hear the sound like everybody else.
Beep, beep.
So if you figured out how to have your car stand apart in a parking lot, then you've got more going for you than what's on this list.
There you go.
And you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
I've done that twice because my last car, my Mazda, my wife always complained. Or her car at the time was silver. Then she got a white car, and they were all silver or white. And mine was that electric blue. So a quarter mile away, you could see that car. And now I have this FJ, which like just stands out above everybody. Like, oh, there it is. It's right over there.
And here in the Nutmeg State, everything is either black, white, or silver. Everything.
Okay.
Everything.
Yeah.
So it's the truth.
Well, the other thing that's going on is Zoe, which rhymes with go, of course. It's the Zoe Show, Wednesdays at 9 p.m. on this station. You want to listen because it's where you go for Haitian music, you know.
Ooh.
So check that out. And now we will take our break and we'll pay homage to our past and our sponsors on this show. So we'll do that, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. So keep it tight, keep it where you got it, and enjoy the doings here on Motormouth Radio with Ray Guarino.
Is it more 80s music? Do I have to go get my Coupe de Ville and take the fender skirts off?
You know what? Get a helmet, put a helmet on, and a
Ooh.
G-suit.
Oh, a helmet and a G-suit.
If I say anything else, I'll tip my hand, so I don't want to do that. I'll tip
All right,
it, then you'll know what it is.
I'm listening intently now.
I'll get the flags ready, and then we'll hit the afterburners here on Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, keep it where you got it, 90.3. And here we go.
Today's show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y sí, hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Hello, gentlemen.
Next
you guys
one.
Call yourself hot rods. Come on, man. I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Motor Mouth.
Love the show and keep them coming.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car.
I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys.
Motor Mouth.
But I am exactly like you guys.
I try and keep every old thing going.
Good show as usual.
Motor Mouth.
You guys are trouble. I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of stuff.
Our trained staff of two will help.
Come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fountain of useless knowledge.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I'll be glad to answer any questions for you. I can.
You're different because you glow in the dark, so it's
yes.
All good.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Sure, ask anything you want.
Motor Mouth!
Have you heard from Ray or Chris saying that this was going to be the best show ever in the history
of mankind?
No, you
see, it's funny because Ray will come in and say, well, Rob, this is going to be the greatest show we've
ever done. It's not Sunday morning until I'm sure.
And sometimes Chris...
Motor Mouth Radio is going to be the best show that was ever done.
And then Chris will sometimes joke that it's going to be the worst show they've ever done.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motor Mouth!
Hi, this is Ray Guarino, host of Motormouth Radio, heard Sundays at noon on the voice of Nassau Community College, and this show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by the Town of Oyster Bay. Supervisor Joe Saladino invites you to the Town of Oyster Bay's car show, Long Island Spring Classic, presented by Bethpage Federal Credit Union, Now Medical, MSG Networks, Ambassador Home Improvements, and PSEG Long Island on Saturday, April 30th at Tobey Beach, featuring classic, muscle, and exotic cars and 4x4s, a food truck corral, vendors, displays, and live music by that 70s band. It's all at the Town of Oyster Bay's Long Island Spring Classic on Saturday, April 30th at Tobey Beach. More information and how to enter your car into Car Show Long Island is available by calling 516-797-4121 or by visiting online at carshowli.com.
Yes, we are Jive Talking on 90.3 WHPC, and that is Chris Switzer on cowbell, by the way. Don't let yourselves be fooled. Live read, and he plays cowbell, too, so this man is a talent.
Not at the same time.
Boy, you never said that in 12 years of doing the show on me.
No, but I have said this. 516-572-7440. Pick up the phone. Call us. For crying out loud.
That is true.
Come
that
on. True. Come
yes.
on. Standing here talking to Ray.
I know. That was a good read, Goose. You did that very cool, very well, very well. And I think...
Yeah, I was too busy getting all the product out of my hair.
And I think you may have to go back for another refit on that G-suit. It's looking a little snug these days.
Was it the G-strap? What was that?
Maybe. Entering and exiting the danger zone on Motor Mouth Radio, as we love to do often.
Yes. Yes, and your calls, too, which always entices us, 516-572-7440. It's always a welcome, refreshing thought process when we can exchange thoughts and ideas here on this forum that we like to call, what's the name of the show again?
Anyway. Car gardening, I don't know. Actually, you know, now I have another one. I have another thing that I want to talk about that kind of burns my biscuits. It's very interesting.
It's the biscuit burning program here at Motor Mouth Radio. Very nice.
This is one I've noticed for a little while now where I'm on the highway, and when I drive, with the way that gas is going, I've slowed my roll down a little bit. And
not doing 90 in the off the exit ramps anymore, are you?
No, I'm not. I've slowed it down. So what happens is I kind of just set myself in the middle lane, and, yeah. you know, and set it at like 60.
Your cruise control, I'm assuming,
cruise
yes.
cruise control, correct. And cruise, and that's it. And I've been noticing the proliferation of larger SUVs or pickups that are coming down the road, and I spot them, because I happen to look in front and behind me when I drive, and they'll zoom up, like, right up on my tail, you know, and like, okay, you know, and then, all right, and my thought is like, oh, now that you zoomed up on me, now I'm not moving, because... You know, you saw that I was going slower. You knew I was going slower. You should have seen it and just gone around.
Right. I was going to say, you're in the middle lane still. You're not in the fast lane, right?
No, no.
You're in the middle lane.
Yes, middle lane.
And they're hugging your bumper.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, now I wouldn't move. You're right.
And there are a couple occasions where I may have to move to left lane. It could be in the left lane, whatever, all lanes. And then what they'll do is they'll hang there for a minute, and then more times than not, it happens in this one part of the parkway that I drive on, where there's another parkway that, that you, you change over to, and they'll be on your tail, and the next thing you know, they're gone. And then they'll go three lanes across and get off the exit. And
yeah.
I'm like, what the hell kind of move was that? That is the stupidest thing in the world.
Or they'll do it in front of you.
Yeah, I see a lot of it happening, like right by, and I'm like, what is the thought process? If you know you're getting off at that exit, you should be in the right lane, you moron, not the left or the middle.
Here's something that I've come to realize. It's either keep the moron in your life or let the moron go. And it all depends on what lane you're in.
Yes.
Because if you're in the middle lane and he has the ability, the moron that's on your bumper has the ability to snake around you, then so be. You stay in your spot. You stay in, you're doing your 60 and you stay there. Because now you're giving him the benefit of not making any false moves, any crazy moves, so he can go around you. But if you're in a fast lane and he comes up to your bumper and you're doing 60 and you're in a fast lane, he's behind you, I would get over. Mm-hmm. I'd let the moron go. I get him out of my life. And here's the reason why. Because you pray. You pray that there is a state trooper quarter mile down the road.
Right.
You pray. And it all depends on how nice the car is. It's tailgating you. Because if it's the Pontiac Grand Prix with the fenders flapping, and you get over, just let him go. Now that man's got like a busted artery or something. He's got to get to a hospital. But if you got like an Audi A8 behind you, or you got a Lexus SUV behind you, I'd let him go. Go ahead.
Usually trucks, pickup trucks.
Right, because they're going to bag sports. Your butt. They're not going to bag me.
That's the new sports car around here is the Ram, the Dodge Ram pickup truck. Yeah, so the Ford F-150. So
yeah,
even just today, coming here, I'm in the middle lane, and I'm driving the FJ today. So now I see what happens that I got stuck with a lot of times. I'll get a car, a little Honda or something, gets behind me, and traffic is moving, and they're like hugging my – I can see like the top of the windshield and the roof. And I'm like, all right, I'm 60 doing on cruise control. And they don't realize there's nothing in front of me. I'm looking at a clear middle lane because everybody else had went around. And they're not picking up on the fact that other people went around. And I'll say, how long are you going to stay there? You know? And then sometimes they'll go around and you see that frustration with like, because I've had that happen to me when I was in the Mazda. I'd be behind a truck, something I couldn't see through. And figuring his traffic, and then come around like, there's nothing in front of him, God damn. Or sometimes I'll move over, you know, and then they zoom. I'm like, see ya.
And it's true. Does your FJ get respect on the road? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Does it or does it not?
Oh, it does. It does.
Okay.
Well, because it's big, you can't see through it, you can't see around it. It rides kind of high. And I had a guy in a Jeep kind of like, you know, kind of playing with it. He wanted to play on the road today. Had like a lifted Jeep. I'll tell you something, just to divert a little. The guy put oversized tires in width and in height on this Jeep. And he probably had a slight lift kit on the Jeep. Every time he hit a bump, I saw those wheels wobble. All four.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what, dude? I think you went just one size too big. Because
stay
that's
going to
be
him.
Suspension problems coming down the road.
Yeah, that's a projectile in waiting.
But yeah, the vehicles, the big vehicles do tend to give the other bigger vehicles that berth or the, you know.
I have found a size isn't always the consideration here. And please stop me if I told this before, but I have two vehicles in my purview, in my compound here, that one of them gets a ton of respect.
Right.
And one of them that is bigger gets none at all.
Really?
None.
Why so?
None. The Mazda CX-9, the quintessential people mover.
Well, that's just, yeah, that's your average kind of SUV mom van. Yeah.
It is. Right. It really is. And it does everything. I love what it does. It really is. It's a well thought out machine. But the thing I cannot stand about it is that nobody gives it any respect at all. I get cut in front of. I get no waves, not even a thank you, nothing. Just right. Like I'm almost like this blob on the road, and I don't drive it that way. I keep up with the traffic. I'm considerate with other drivers. I stay away from any minivans.
Right.
Stay away from minivans, especially the Honda Passports. Stay away from those Toyotas. Just don't go near them because they're all crazy. I'd stay away from them.
Wait, hold on. Just back up. Honda Passports. Stay away from those Toyotas?
The Toyota vans, too.
I was also mentioning
the Toyota vans.
That's what I caught you.
The Honda vans, the Toyota vans, gotcha. All of those.
Just checking.
Yeah. Great.
Okay.
But so I can't tell you how many times I get cut in front of, I get leaned on, they will tailgate me, and I'm not going slow, but I'll get tailgate. But when I get out of that, the frustration is like, makes me crazy. And I'll get into the Explorer, everybody's nice.
Well,
everybody follows the rules, everybody's happy.
Before you get more gushy about it, explain to the audience the Explorer, because it ain't no regular bread and butter Explorer, okay?
It's an Explorer utility.
A little more than that. It's a little more utility than that.
It's all black with a spotlight on it.
Right, with black wheels, got cop tires, cop brakes, cop shocks.
Yeah, and I'm not doing anything differently.
You don't have to.
Driving pattern.
You don't have to. You're driving a cop car.
It's so funny.
And one that can have a canine in it. So, come on.
It's hysterical. Everybody minds their P's and Q's. Nobody is complaining. Everybody's smiling. It's a beautiful thing.
Look, I've seen people back off of me with the FJ, and I wondered, is it because it's a black and white? It's literally white over black. Like, you know, is there some subliminal thing going on here? I don't know, you know.
It could be, yeah.
No.
And it's true. And hey, you know, taking a quick look at some of the newer Explorers, they're all black.
I've seen some of
the sport models are all black. They got the big, thick black wheels on them.
Yes.
They got this really kind of aggressive grill on the front of them.
Yes.
And there are times where I keep thinking it's law enforcement.
I know.
I'm like,
Well, they do. They do use them. Well, obviously, they use them. They use them down here, too. They do use them for law enforcement. So they're already starting with a great platform, and they just add on their accoutrements. And, yeah,
right,
I know. You can. I've been fooled by civilian models many, many, many times.
Yes. Yes. Some of the civilian Explorers are really, they're nice.
Yeah, they are.
And a buddy of mine, a guy I know was talking about how they call that style murdered. That's what they call it.
Murdered out.
Left.
Murdered out is
that's
all
murdered
black.
Out, yeah.
That's all
and I'm laughing because I'm getting gas. I'm pumping gas in the car. I'm at some truck stop deep in the state. And a guy comes up to me and goes, wow, that car is really murdered. And I'm like, pardon me?
Right. Right.
Sorry for showing my age.
Yes, it's all blacked out.
What in the world are you talking about?
Right.
Yeah, it's all blacked out. And he looked around and went, oh, this is an old police car. Oh, this is nice.
In fact, if you ever watched, you know, Street Outlaws, there was a guy with Murder Nova, and it was the all blacked out Nova. It was the, that was the moniker he picked for it.
So that was the first I've heard of it.
Right.
So
okay.
I was chuckling over that murdered out.
Yeah. Right.
All right. So I'm like, wow. It's funny because when you don't have your finger on the pulse of popular colloquialisms, I guess you could say. You spend your days in the Nutmeg State mowing lawns and changing oil.
Yeah.
It's, I know. You kind of miss out.
Right. Right.
Although I did have an individual walking his dog, he actually complimented me on the car. And I'm like looking around. I'm like, the Chrysler isn't here. The garage door is closed. It's like, what are you talking about? I figured because the Chrysler was this, you know, it's this big green parade float. I figured that would be the one. And I'm like, what, the cop car?
Yeah. Hey, have you run into your buddy with the Cuda anymore down the road?
No, I haven't. Okay. I have not. And it's hysterical because last I spoke to him, he was cleaning out his garage and he was going to show some daylight. And the goal was to get that car out of the garage. And I'm hoping I want to get mine out of the garage so I can get over to his house. So I have an excuse to see him.
Right.
Because mine is stuck in the garage and I haven't had a chance to go get that thing out.
Right.
So all the junk in front of that. But I haven't had a chance to take advantage because, I'm looking forward. All I saw was a Dog Dish hubcap. And it's a Cuda convertible, and I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I cannot believe
the prices of some of these Mopars and what people are trying to sell. It is literally a shovel full of parts piled up on a trailer, and they're asking like 20 grand plus for anything that kind of resembles either a Super B or a Charger, you know, second gen Charger or anything like that. It is incredible the values of these cars. And here's something, I'm rambling, but here's something I've noticed. Cars of the 60s are super duper popular, right? Mm-hmm. Cars of the 50s are kind of popular.
Not so much.
And what's really kind of strange is cars in the 40s and even the 30s are like almost depressed.
Unless
they're street rods. But stock.
Well, because the age, people, like when we were teens, we didn't want to know a car from the 20s or the brass era. It was like, hey, what the hell is that? Put that in a museum, pops. You know, we didn't want to know that stuff. That's not what we grew. So, it just makes sense that as everybody ages, you know, so do their tastes, you know.
But I'm laughing because I'm thinking to myself, let's see, what do I want? Do I want just a Super B, a 68 Super B and spend $45,000, $50,000, $60,000 for something like that, or a Cuda and spend that kind of money? Or how about a 1932 Cadillac V12 four-door big limo for the same money?
Or less. The thing is now with the older cars like that, like the Caddies and the cars of the 30s, if it's stock, of course.
To get certain things
done, like we had a guy out here, Arthur Gould, who rebuilt the water pumps and fuel pumps, specialized in water pumps for the older cars.
Right.
We had him on the show. We had those guys on the show years ago because they sold it to a couple of young guys who we had on the show, and now they sold it again, the business.
Ooh.
And from what I heard, it wasn't too easy to get stuff anymore. It was like they were diversifying into something else. So if you can't get the parts to restore or repair that car, now you got a really nice piece of driveway art that's not going anywhere.
That is the truth. And we had touched on that subject a couple of months back when you had sent me my buddy, I think it was a friend of mine had sent me a picture of an ad for a 64 Cadillac convertible that had a 350 Chevy engine in it. You sent me that one. And I thought it was blasphemous at first. I was like, why would you put a Chevy in? But then try and get that 429 to run, get a water pump for it, or to get a carburetor for it, or get a rebuilding kit for it is incredibly hard nowadays. And this is something that I'm still trying to wrap a thought around because these things were easy to find.
They were.
30 years ago.
So were your shoelaces. That was it was easy to get for them, too. You know, on that note, my friend Danny has a car. He bought my sister's car years ago. It's a 69 or a 70 Mercury Monterey convertible.
Mm. Okay.
And it's, you know, she offered it to me, and I passed because it wasn't a GM. And he bought it, since then he ran a Marty report on this thing and found that this car has some rarity to it because of the year. Yeah, it's hidden headlights, it's a convertible, the color combination, all this stuff. So he had given me the carburetor to rebuild last summer, and I looked at it and said, I know it's a Ford carburetor, and it's a four-barrel, but it's not the one like I've done on the T-Bird I just worked on. The typical one is the 4300 carburetor, the Ford. His has ended up being like a 4100. and I never did one. You could see the similarity. It would be like a quadrajet that was shaped differently. You'd say, wow, it looks the same, but it's not. So I did it. I had all sorts of trouble. I wasn't finding good information on even the float adjustment, and the thing was just a bear. It really fought with me. So just recently, I found a video from this guy. He's in his 30s or 40s, I'm going to guess. It's always hard to tell someone's age. And he does videos. He has a collection of big boats that he likes to buy. You know, like big Lincolns, Caddies, big Pontiacs. He likes big cars. He likes those, like the sea bodies. That's kind of his forte.
Right.
And he'll do a video, tell you the pros and cons of that car and that model line. Well, the one caught my eye on YouTube was, he said, the worst carburetor Ford ever built. So that's all I had to see. And I started watching a video, and he was talking about this 4100. And,
really?
And he basically backed up everything that I found by working on it. And he said that if you have one of these and it works, God bless. Don't touch it. Leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
But if you have one that's a little bit of a problem, don't try and modify it. Take it off and buy an Edelbrock and drop it on there because you'll be way far ahead. And I told that, I sent Dan the video and said, remember I told you the problems I had with this car, right? Well, watch this video. I said, and if you want to spec out an Edelbrock, I'll help you. You get one with an electric choke, it'll be turnkey, you'll be done. So
yeah, sure.
Some of this stuff, again, it was hard finding a kit for it, and it was hard finding information for it because they only used it in like a few years, and they went to that 4300, which became wildly popular. So,
Got it. No, it makes sense. And that's something that you have to read into when you are looking online because sometimes you'll see, you think it's a carburetor, and you think that it's going to be a blast of information, and you right. go, no, wait a minute, hold on. There isn't information on it. Why?
I think we have a blast of information on the phone. So let's go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
So I thought the guy you're talking about that loves the big boat cars, I thought you were talking about Chris.
Nah, no. It's of course, Cliff. Our resident VW
What's
expert.
Up, Cliff?
Well, I'm out in the garage and I'm messing around with the dune buggy a little bit today, learning. Never had anything with, let alone a foreign engine, but an engine in the back, and it's all new to me. But it's a lot of fun, and I got to tell you, it's great. I recommend to everybody on a Sunday, hang out in your garage, work on your car, and listen to the show.
I do that on a Tuesday. Yeah, I don't need Sunday. Yeah, absolutely. Good work. Good advice. So how's the car coming along? Is it ready to...
Very cool. Yeah, I'm doing I bought this dune buggy out of Iowa, and it's interesting. And I just did a whole, doing a whole research on it and the DNA on it. And spoke yesterday to the guy that owned it prior to the guy I bought it from, who knew a lot more about it because he owned it first back in the early 2000s. And he was a big Shriner down in Cutout, Louisiana, some bio out there. And there's a big dune buggy culture out there with the Shriner guys. And do these like Shriner dune buggy parades and the little car, like the motorized Shriner cars. And nice guy. They raise a lot of money for charities. And he was a great guy. Could hardly understand what he said because he sounded like one of those guys from Swamp People, TV show Swamp People. But he probably couldn't understand what I was saying. He's, New Yorker, but he was a great guy. Gave me a lot of information about what was done to the buggy, which is nice. It's always nice to find out what's done so you don't do it twice,
Sure.
And great guy, and it was a cool buggy. Gave me a lot of information about the engine and what was done to it. And
so did he send you a hat with a little fuzzy little thing?
Yeah,
no, but he did send me, which I'll forward over to you, Ray. He sent me some cool photographs of the car in a bunch of Shriner parades.
Oh, cool.
They had the big, I don't know what the big Shriner hats, like the Grand Poobah hats. And,
right.
And a lot of cool stuff. And they put beads on the car, and they put all kinds of decorations on the car, and they stuffed the back with all kinds of toys that they give out to the kids. Nice group of big guys, and they do good stuff, and it was kind of cool. You see all these buggies. It's a whole different culture that I haven't seen here. I guess the Midwest, down south, Texas, this is like a big this dune buggy culture, not just for like the California culture, but like the Shriner culture with these Shriners. It's a big deal with them, and it's kind of cool,
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And,
I don't know if we have enough time, but I got to ask you, why did you buy a dune buggy?
you know, it was crazy. It was on the bucket list. I got rid of the Roadrunner.
Oh, you did?
Needed just a little, yeah. And it's going to a nice guy all the way upstate New York. And
wow.
So I was watching. I just wanted something just to run around with, a little bit more affordable right now, that, without having a lot of money tied up. And it was on my bucket list, kind of looking at a lot of them. I wanted that classic metal flake style from, you know, the 60s, 70s era type of one, not a modern one with the big crazy seats in it, you know. And,
yeah,
right. And I found this one. I'm still trying. It's not a Manx. Myers Manx, which is like apparently the king of doom buggies, but
yeah, sure.
I'm on a couple of Facebook pages trying to find out what the body is. It's got a couple of suggestions. One guy says it's something called a Spatz, S-P-A-T-Z. Another one thinks it's called a Deserter or something. You know, there's all these different brands. They're all trying to match up the nose to the back. But it's kind of cool. It's an interesting story because apparently they made about 300 takeoffs off of Manx back in the day. It was like 300 different manufacturers that made these bodies. A lot of them were boat manufacturers that just cranked out some fiberglass bodies back in the day and sold them in the back of Hot Rod magazine and catalogs. You know?
Yeah, I see them. Cool. I read a lot of old magazines. And I see them in there. I think you'll have a ball with it. The other thing is I think you'll curse you. You'll be cursing it yourself the first time you hit in some weird weather and you don't have a roof and windows. You're going to say, damn, I should have had that
bimini top. I got that little strap down top like when you have a Semper console boat, you know.
Right.
But it's, I'll send you some stuff you can photo
listen,
to Chris.
Keep a pair of board shorts and boat shoes in the back. Yeah.
And a raincoat.
Exactly.
You know,
right, there you go.
All right. But I wanted to just tell you guys I'm enjoying the show. Sitting in the garage working on it.
All
it's just a lot of fun.
Excellent, Cliff.
But I'll see you guys soon, man.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Cliff. Bye-bye.
All right. And we are ending the fun and frivolity here because Kim is in. She's going to do Thunder Road, the best of Springsteen and the band. So we're going to be blasting off out of here, and we'll be back again next week to talk about more stuff. We're working on a couple guests. We'll see who we can wrangle. We don't have any commitments yet, but, you know, people are always, this time of year, people are doing other stuff. They're busy with things, so, but we'll keep in touch, and we'll get somebody in here. So, I love watching Tim get ready for the show. I love watching him do this. It's all there. It's everything here. The whole thing is ready to go. All you got to do is plug in your thing, and you're done. So any parting words, Chris? What do we say that you say that John says that we always say on Thursday, too?
Don't follow us home unless you're in a parking lot, can't find your car, unless you're going with your doom buggy.
And unless you have a ham sandwich or some ring dings.
That's
always a good one, right? That's one of our favorites. So, all right, so we'll get out of here. We'll let Tim take over, and we'll see you again next week. Chris, we'll talk to you during the week, and stay safe, have fun, and Kim just went out. So, okay, we'll talk for another half a second. Well, there she is. Okay.
We'll talk for another half a second.
All right. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say see you, bye. All right?
See you, bye.
93.3 WHPC signing off.